What do you want me to do for you? Have you ever thought about what you want from God? What you expect? What role you want God to play in your life? It's very interesting that before Jesus does anything, he asks Bartimaeus this question: what do you want me to do for you? And the answer is obvious. He's a blind man. He's a beggar. He wants to see. No surprise there in some ways. But that verb, to see, can have more than one meaning. Certainly, if you say, did you see that? We mean, with your own eyes, did you see with your sight what was happening? But in another way, it can also be the type of seeing that comes when we understand. And we say that as well. When somebody explains something to us and we finally get it, we say, oh, I see. We indicate that word when we understand what something is about, what someone else is about. Oh, I see. I see what this is about. The man wants to see. We all want to see. But the things we want to see change over the course of our lives. When I first entered the seminary, the sight that I had, the plan that I had, what I wanted to see was my absolute grasping of everything that was necessary. So in the first year, I thought it was wise. I wanted to understand everything there was to know about prayer and to be perfect at it. And then the second year, I thought I'd tackle the Gospels and completely understand every Gospel. And thirdly, I thought, you know, I should really get a handle on living all of the virtues perfectly. I had an outstanding plan, and I could see it clearly. But I forgot the most important thing, which Jesus reminds this man of at the end. His faith was what was most important. It was his faith that caused him to receive his sight. We know that the faith of the recipient is important to Jesus. In fact, when he goes back to his hometown and does the reading in the synagogue, he can't perform any miracle because of their lack of faith. Now, for those of you here today, your moms are women of faith. Now, how can I say that without knowing all of them? Because they took a great chance on you. And from the first moment they knew you existed, they recognized the mighty hand of God. And they wondered. They wondered like Zechariah and Elizabeth wondered, what will this child be, this son of theirs, John the Baptist? Especially if you were a firstborn, they had to encounter what I've been told by many mothers is one of the most terrifying moments of parenthood. That moment when the hospital has done all they can do and they send you home. Now what do we do? There's no perfect guidebook. What your moms needed to do was to ask the Lord for sight so that they could be the best moms they could be. Moreover, there were times when it necessarily didn't all go as planned. To the sons here, I'm going to give you a big insight. You've probably never realized this before. Your moms are not perfect. Now, lest you think, well, yes, I know all the mistakes they make. You should live with my mom. It balances out. Because even though your moms are not perfect, they don't have perfect sons either. And so there's kind of a balance. You're in it together. Your mom helped you to learn how to be loved and to love. Your mom helped you to learn how to forgive and how to be forgiven. Your mom helped you to know that even when you did do something wrong, that wasn't the end of their love for you. They continued to love you even when you disobeyed. That's faith. I also think it's faith that even before they knew you, they loved you. They demonstrated to you God. God says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." It's the kind of intimate knowledge that is the most high knowledge, the most intimate knowledge. Your parents, when you were born, didn't say, "Well, we'll have to see how this works out. We don't know this new child. We're going to kind of wait and take notes and see whether or not we'll keep him." They didn't do that. They were so overjoyed at your arrival in the world. And from the first moment, they wondered about you. They loved you. And we know because of science that, quite honestly, you knew them even before you were born. You knew when they were happy and when they were stressed. And you learned even before you were born by the way in which they talked about you and cared for you, your mother, of course, most especially in those moments. You knew that you were loved even before you were born. Today, my plan is not so much this high and mighty, I must do these things. As a matter of fact, we're planning for all kinds of things. The Archdiocese is talking about what it's going to do in the future. And I know that when I was a priest, I was ordained a priest for the Diocese of Burlington, we had planning sessions and so forth. And I know in my own Dominican province, we've planned for the future. I used to get stressed because I thought, well, what's going to happen? What is it going to be like? Where are we going to be? It was very stressful. But this year in particular, maybe because of all of the uncertainty that was brought about by COVID and the pandemic, by all the people who had to mourn the loss of loved ones while they also could not be in their presence, at the most challenging moments, the end moments of their lives. Maybe it's because of that, maybe it's because of something else. But today, if Jesus were to ask me, "What do you want me to do for you?" It wouldn't be, "I want to see the perfect plan. I want to see the virtues that I can do. I want to see the meaning of all of the Gospels in perfect wonder." It would be much simpler. I would say, "Lord, I want to see you." Because that's the promise that Jesus made to each one of us. He didn't promise us that life would be perfect. He didn't promise us that our lives would be without difficulty. He didn't promise us that there wouldn't be hard and challenging moments when we weren't sure what direction to go or what to do. He didn't assure parents that getting closer and closer to the stages where they will say goodbye to you, which most senior parents will tell you happens much more quickly than even they imagined, Jesus didn't say that's not going to be difficult and sad, but it's going to be wonderful and tremendous too. It's in fact what we have been planning for our son, your son, for his entire life. That he go out into the world and discover the things that are wonderful and tremendous. I have a priest friend who makes the morning offering every day. And for those of you that are familiar, at least the one he does, it starts off by saying, "Lord, I offer everything I do today for you." But a few weeks ago, I learned that he adds a unique line himself after that, saying that. He says, Lord, I offer my whole day to you, and I want to do everything that you want me to do this day. But then he says, of course, you know I don't really mean it, but I want to. And maybe that's the best answer we give to the Lord Jesus. We too want to be able to see, most especially his presence in our lives, so that we can imitate his unconditional love for all people that we meet.